Happy and blessed New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year! Woo!
Ooh, I'm loud. Good. Well, I'm thinking the timing of this message, and you'll see, is just about perfect. It's January 1st, the first day of the new year. Starting a new year is generally thought of as starting with a blank slate. Last year was last year. This year is new and doesn't have to repeat last year's mistakes. And starting with a blank slate just so happens to be where we are in our Old Testament reading. Moses with two blank tablets, slates, heading back up to spend time with the Lord. Our beginning verses, as you heard, start with, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready by the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain.'" Now, just like looking back at our previous year can show us some situations or experiences that we may not wish to repeat, there's some background to why the Lord has requested Moses' presence on the mountain with blank slates in tow. In previous chapters of Exodus, we learn that the Lord gave Moses two tablets pre-engraved with his commandments for his people. But Moses threw them down in anger at the faithlessness of the Lord's chosen ones, since they had decided to go back to worshiping idols instead of the Lord while Moses was away with him. I don't know about you, but I've had experiences like that more times than I'd like to remember. Times when I either had expectations of confrontation, like Moses, because the Lord told him what those wayward folks were up to while he was away, or when I haven't prepared myself appropriately by putting on the armor of God before heading out into the world. Things, or sometimes relationships, usually ended up broken, like those God-minted tablets that Moses had in his hands. Don't have anything in your hands when you're angry. Not a good idea. But just like the Lord calling Moses to cut for himself new tablets and head back up the mountain, the Lord has graciously given me the opportunity to repent of that anger and begin again with a clean slate. Now, what's helped me tremendously to avoid harmful outbursts of anger in the beginning, in the first place, is spending daily time with the Lord. And I don't just mean in Bible study, I mean quiet time, and I'll tell you about that. It's certainly not the 40 days and 40 nights time that Moses spent with the Lord. He did this at least twice, and maybe even three times, since I'm sure his burning bush time was not a trivial amount. But even a fraction of that time is enough to set me on solid footing for the day. In looking at a reading from Exodus, I'm seeing a pattern from Moses' time with the Lord that echoes what I've experienced in my quiet times and may be helpful for all of us. There are four major steps that I see that blessed Moses and should bless our experiences. The first is really key to all of the wonderfulness that follows. God asks us to present ourselves, carrying the blank tablets that we've prepared. For Moses, these were literally blank slates. For us, it should be our hearts, our minds, our souls. Too many times, we're caught up in the busyness of the world and in the trials and tribulations that beset us each day. It's kind of rough living here in this life. We have baggage from the day before, and we have worries for future baggage that haven't even happened. And this clutter interferes with our time and can thwart the whole purpose of spending time with the Lord. God says to Moses in verse 3, "No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite that mountain." The Lord wanted pure one-on-one, alone time with Moses. He didn't want him to bring any relational baggage or work baggage with him, since flocks and herds definitely speak of work to a former shepherd such as he was. Well, he wants the same for us. We need to spend time in his presence, in quietness and receptivity. So often, as I said, we have busyness in mind. Many things are on our hearts that we want to share with him. And he wants us to share everything with him. But even more than that, he wants to share his heart, his love, his grace with us. I don't know about you, but I find it hard to lay down my wants and my needs and my desires without a little outside help. My brain is just going, go, go, go. Most of the time working through morning prayer from our prayer book helps me to refocus my heart toward open receptivity. But sometimes I also use the helps provided in a book that was given to me by a dear friend. It's called The Soul at Rest. It's been a wonderful guide for me to learn the process of slowing down and just being present with the Lord. The author, Tricia Rhodes, walks her readers through various practices of meditative prayer and scripture reading. It's not a quick process. It takes effort and time. You know, it takes a long time to climb up that mountain to present myself to the Lord. At least it feels long because I can't stop thinking. But when I get there, the results are so worth it. Which leads me to the next step in the amazing process that happened for Moses and will happen for us. In response to our obedience of presenting ourselves to God, he will come to us. We're in the season of Christmas, where we celebrate the first coming of our Lord, the physical manifestation of Jesus. But what's apparent as we roam the halls of his story in the Bible is that he's been coming to us all along, long before he was born of Mary in those humble beginnings in the inn, outside the inn. In Matthew, we read, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. In our Old Testament lesson, we see that same Emmanuel. He's standing with Moses, and he's proclaiming the name of the Lord. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. In the chapter before our reading, Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory, and the Lord agrees, but makes it clear that to ask such a thing is dangerous. In his and our fallen state, to look on the face of God means instantaneous death. So what does he do? He provides a way of protection for Moses. We read, "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The Lord provided us the same protection in Jesus. He is the stone that the builders rejected, the solid ground in a world of sinking sand, right hand of God, and the propitiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Every time I see Jesus in the Bible, I am in complete awe and wonder, and a little verklempt, as you can tell. And that segues to our third step. Now that we are in his presence, blank slates and open hearts at the ready, he declares his steadfast love. We worship. Our reading from Exodus says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.' And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped." as I prayerfully and intentionally go through morning prayer or the book that I mentioned previously, I eventually end up truly parked, camped with him. No agenda in my heart, just present. And I'm instantly overwhelmed by his love. He is always broadcasting this amazing message, but I'm usually too cluttered with worldly concerns to hear it. In this quiet time, I'm able to hear him proclaim his word in creation, in all the amazing ways he's ordered my life and connected me with messengers of his love. And in response, I can do nothing else but bow my head and worship. And this word worship is important. In Hebrew, the word for worship is shaka, and it's defined as to bow down. I was reading the NIV definition, and it kind of broadened this understanding in light of our faith and relationship with Jesus. Bending over to the Lord now means responding with repentance and faith to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Such worship involves praying to him, calling on his name, and obeying him. And I kind of flip it around. I start with the obeying, but eventually we do all of that. It's this resulting release of my busyness, my struggles, my temporal needs, setting them down. To be so overwhelmed with gratitude and adoration that all I can do is bend down low in worship, that's the point of coming to the Lord with a blank slate to begin with. He's constantly, in our lives and throughout the story of the world, in the Bible, coming to us, trying to return us to the state in which we were meant to be, in communion and relationship with him. We were not created to be apart from him. It's a foreign state and why we have so much dis-ease in our lives and in the world. Thus, when we actively seek time with him, we experience a return to wholeness, to health, to peace. Even if we're actually sick, we're still better. And this brings us to the final step in the review of our reading and how it relates to us. We ask the Lord to come into the midst of us, to abide in and through us, and he does. Moses said, "If now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance." Moses felt confident to ask the Lord to go in the midst of them, even though, and maybe because, they were a stiff-necked people. Where did he get such chutzpah? I mean, this is the same God that had protected him in the cleft of the rock, lest he be killed instantly. But even there, in that statement, we get a clue as to why Moses had such confidence and why we should too. God loves us so very much that he sent his only son into our world to save us from our iniquities. The cleft in the rock, the stone that the builders rejected, the true rock of ages is here with us right now. He's standing, I don't know where he's standing, but he's here. We may be stiff-necked from walking with the Lord and yet still looking to the world for happiness, but he is still faithful to abide with us if we present ourselves to him and abide in him. So let's take time each day to follow the pattern God set in motion for Moses, coming to him in obedience with our blank slates, having our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls open and ready for him to speak. Let us sit in active stillness, waiting with confidence for him to come to us. When we are fully aware that he is there with us and has been all along, let us, with joyful and humble hearts, drink in the love that he declares to us and bow down low in worship. And because of this time with the Lord, let us boldly ask him to come in the midst of us, to reach through us into the world with his love. And he will. It's January 1st, the beginning of a new year. Let's make 2023 truly the year of our Lord. Thanks be to God.